All right, our scripture text this morning will be taken from the book of Psalms. Psalm 100 in verse 5 will serve as our text this morning. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Now let's get the context of our scripture. I'll read the entire Psalm 100, which is only five verses long in its entirety, but it's absolutely packed with spiritual truth, as is every verse in this blessed book. Its title is A Psalm of Thanksgiving, and so it's a fitting psalm to be speaking of in this Thanksgiving service. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. So what we have here is the answer to the question. What should be our response to God? What should we do? The question then arises, how should we do it? We have the answer in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. And I pray that you've already done this in the quietness of your heart prior to coming here this morning. But nevertheless, if there are things which are maybe churning through your mind or churning through your heart that have inhibited such desire, I pray that they be cast away even now as you're seated here, even at this late hour. On what basis should we do it? And this is going to be the focus of our teaching this morning. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. It's because of who He is. It's because of who God is and His great attributes from which you and I, indeed all of His creation, benefit most abundantly. So in our sermon proper this morning, we will speak to the three attributes we are given in verse 5. First, we should thank God because He is good. Secondly, we should thank God because He is merciful. And third, we should thank God because His truth endures. Let us expound upon these things. First, we should thank God because He is good. A very simple statement, something that is so obvious and patently true that we forget about it many times. We take it for granted. On earth, good is relative, but in heaven and on earth, good is absolute, and it's found in God alone. No one is good but God, that is God. The goodness of God greatly benefits you and I. Let us count the ways. First, His goodness teaches sinners. Good and upright is the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, what does He do? He teaches sinners in the way. His goodness causes Him to care enough not to let us self-destruct and to make His truth known to all of those who earnestly desire it and seek it. And it is a truth that wise men and women still seek Him. When we experience God's goodness, we learn to trust Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And again, the words of the prophet Nahum. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows And He knows those who trust in Him. We receive blessings from God above, and they too are good. For again it is written that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights, what a beautiful title for God that we have here in the scripture taken from the Epistle of James. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Things in this life may change. People in this life may change. The writings that men and women write may change. But our God will not change. And forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, even unto eternity. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And when we receive that goodness, we avoid His wrath. What is repentance? A change of mind resulting from a change of heart. The repentance that God leads us to is something that God does and that we receive, that we partake in. It's God's work, and yet we partake in it. Are you really thankful to God for your blessings? Do you despise the riches of His goodness? Despise the riches of His goodness. How is that done? By practically speaking, neglecting to praise the true God. Not only on Sunday mornings by so often neglecting the public worship, or by neglecting to join in other appointed times for praise, but also neglecting to thank God before a meal, neglecting to thank God when you wake up in the morning, neglecting to thank God for your health, neglecting to thank God for your family, for your spouse, for your children, spending untold hours whining about your job, when there are as many as 25% of the people in this country who want to have a job and can't find one. Our second point this morning, we should thank God because He is merciful. Grace is getting what we do not deserve, a place in heaven. For by grace we are saved, and this not of ourselves. But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. In other words, a place in hell. Grace is that we receive a reservation in heaven. Mercy is that our reservation in hell is canceled, annulled, you might say. And that signature of annulment is signed by the very blood of our God, Jesus Christ. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, as it is written by the prophet Jeremiah, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. We don't save ourselves, but God saves us through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. There are two types of religions in this world. There are the religions that teach that we can reach God, that we can attain salvation, at least in part, through some human merit. Matter of fact, there's a gathering going on this afternoon And I won't name it specifically, but I'll speak to it. And the one thing that everybody in that ecumenical gathering has in common is that they all believe that there's a way that man can attain to God, at least in part. And they all believe that perfect peace on this earth, or at least some semblance of it, can be brought about, at least in part, through the efforts of men. Thereby denying Jesus Christ and His power. It's through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Now, the second kind of religion is that which we practice and that which we preach. And we preach it because God preaches it in the Holy Bible, that God comes down to man, that salvation is of the Lord. And like Jonah, many of us have to go through many trials and travails in order to come to that point. But nevertheless, it's a truth. Now, grace and mercy are opposite sides of the same coin. And both are a form of love to the unworthy recipient of them. We're speaking of three attributes of God this morning: His goodness, His mercy, and His truth. We alluded to His wrath, and here's another one: His love. All of these perfect characteristics of God working in perfect harmony. We can't take a perfect characteristic of God and exclude the rest. They all work together according to the power which works in Him. The mercy of God is perfect and it is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, on those who fear Him. It is the mercy of God towards man that caused Him to send His Son Jesus, that our sins might be forgiven. And it had to be so. For a holy God could not have sinful, unholy men and women in His presence. If we were to be in His presence, something had to be done, and God did a beautiful thing. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes, whoever trusts in Him in faith should not perish but have everlasting life. And again, in this word, is to you, Christian. According to His mercy, He saved us. Saved us. Saved us already, with results that will continue forever. We didn't earn our salvation, and we can't unearn it. According to His mercy, He saved us. How did He save us? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Christian, you have great cause this morning to cry out with the psalmist. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. God's goodness and God's mercy in harmony. If you've not confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it now. Do it today. If you're waiting for an engraved invitation and you're in my hearing, here is your invitation. I can't engrave it after the manner of Mixip the printer, but I can certainly engrave it by preaching the words that are in this book. What are you waiting for? Experience the mercy of which we speak of this morning. Without Christ, there is no mercy for you. You will get what you deserve. Our third point this morning is that we should thank God because His truth endures. glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching on. Everything God says is truth. Remember David in his prayer of thanksgiving and what he affirmed? He looked up to heaven. He cried out to heaven, having experienced the goodness and the mercy of God, and he said, "Oh Lord God, You are God. You are God. And because You are God, Your words are true. Everything God does is truth. Not only is everything God says truth, but everything God does is truth. For the word of the Lord is right. And all His work is done in truth. His work is not done in secret. Why then do we so many times attempt to be disciples of Jesus Christ secretly for fear of what the world might think? God Himself is the truth. Jesus said it of Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." It is true that God's truth brings life, and that the Son of God brings life. Indeed, again, Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that to be true? Is it true? Or is it not true? Truth is not subjective, friends. I wouldn't test the subjectivity of truth by leaning over the very top of this building and letting myself fall down to see whether or not gravity be true. When we try to test the objectivity of truth, if I were to do that, I'd make a real mess of myself. Literally. You want to test the subjectivity or the objectivity of this truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? You want to test it and push it away and say all truth is subjective? Then go climb up to the top of your spiritual steeple. Lean over. And when you realize, when you begin to fall, cry out. Cry out. Lord Jesus, Thy word is truth. Save me. Save me before I make such a mess of myself that there's no turning back. Weary sinner, don't face your Thanksgiving this year without setting a place at the table in your heart for Jesus Christ. There's a tradition that's been reported to have come out of the Czech Republic. This is something that we couldn't objectively verify, but nevertheless, we did print it in this edition of the newspaper that we print and distribute. Now I want to share it with you. It's attributed to the Czechs that at Christmas time, on Christmas, a place is set at the table for Jesus Christ. There's an empty chair, an empty seat, inviting Jesus Christ to be present at that place. Will you do that? Will you set a place at the table of your heart for Jesus Christ to sit. And not only a place, not only a place, but the most prominent place. For as it is written in the commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. I'll leave you with two challenges this morning. Behold his goodness, his mercy, and his truth. Go forth and proclaim it to all the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many years I have left on this planet. I like to think I'll live a good, full life. So let's throw out a number. Let's say maybe the Lord will give me 35 years, 35 more years if I'm lucky. I'll take them, if that's what he gives me, right? Whatever the Lord wills. I don't want to waste a year of them. I don't want to waste a year of them. I don't know that I've got much time. I might have 6 months. I might have 35 years. But whatever the time is, let's say that even if I'm thinking that chances are I'm going to live for a good while, statistically, could be. Why would I want to waste 1 year, 1 day, not living in God's plan on this earth? Because when it's all said and done, what I do in that wasted time is useless in the estimation of my Savior. Do I want to do useless work on this earth? Do I want to waste time? Do I want to do useless things? Things which don't profit my Savior? Did Jesus Christ do anything useless in his ministry for me? Of course not. Everything Jesus Christ did, everything God did and everything God does is for a purpose for me. Why should I reward his goodness and his mercy and his truth by acting with ungratefulness, doing things that are useless with regard to proclaiming the truth? Every provision has been graciously provided by the Lord. How often do you remember to thank him? At 1 o'clock this afternoon. At 1 o'clock this afternoon. 1 o'clock. Set your watch. Whatever you're doing, stop and thank him. And then look back. And then think back from the time you left here. 11 o'clock, 11.05, 11.30, whatever. And consider how many times since that time you've thanked him, and how many opportunities you might have had to thank him. And then consider what you're going to do as you go forward. And keep that in the back of your mind. Roll that through your head. Even until such time as you gather around at the Thanksgiving table, whatever that means to you. Go forth in God's goodness, mercy, and his truth. Lord, add your blessing upon each and every one here this morning and the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.